Reading from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Our guest speaker this morning is a native Kansan. Yet she has literally traveled the world sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. From Colombia, South America. I was going to sneak up on it, and here you are already. I was working my way to it. To Togo, West Africa. To Bangkok, Thailand. To many points across even our own nation. She is a third-year senior, which means, to be clear, that only in her third year she's already a senior, not that she's on her third year as a senior. She is a third-year senior at Southwestern Assemblies of God University in Waxahachie, Texas. Her parents joyfully anticipate her graduation with a bachelor's degree in elementary education approximately 1 year from now. Can you say amen? And in my search for the right person to speak to us about the Christmas story from the perspective of Mary, I think I found the perfect candidate. And I invite you to welcome my daughter and our friend, Jenna Duncan.
The bad news is that I did not inherit my father's speaking ability. But the good news is that I did not inherit my father's lengthy speaking ability. So, we'll be out of here early. Yeah. My father asked me to speak, and the first passage that I went to automatically was the Christmas story. Jesus born in a manger. Mary pondered all these things in her heart. That seems like the logical place to go, but as I was reading, Mary's response to the angel was what really caught me. And I think many times we lump Mary's response into one emotion, into one response, and I know I'm probably going to get myself in trouble for this, but let me remind you that Mary is a woman. It's not going to be one emotion or one response. It's not how it works. And in her defense, it probably shouldn't be one emotion or one response. So we're going to look at some of the responses that Mary gave. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. Mary's first response is probably my very favorite. The angel comes to her, just shows up and says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." So what's Mary's response there? Mary doesn't say anything. Nothing. What does it say? It says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. That would be my response. You have an angel, just show up. I know this is kind of hard to picture, okay? But if I'm in Mary's spot, the angel is kind of like my father coming to me. And when he says, "Hey, dearest daughter, whom I love," you know something's about to happen, and you're probably not going to want to hear it. It's just how it works. Or when Micah or Andrew come to me and say, hey, Jenna, my favorite sister, like I've forgotten that I'm their only sister. Yeah, you want to walk away at that point because it's something you're not going to want to hear. I think that's one of my favorite responses from Mary, is she just gets worried. I mean, who wouldn't? An angel shows up. So then the angel goes on, and the next response that Mary gives is probably something else that we would probably, that was the way we would respond. And the angel tells her the plan, says that Mary has received favor with God, and that she's going to have a child, and that she's to name it Jesus, and that he will be the Son of the Most High. He tells Mary that her son will reign over Jacob's descendants. And obviously that's a lot of news to take in all at once. Mary went from being a young girl who was engaged to a young girl who's pregnant with the Savior of the world, which will probably cause her fiancé to break off their engagement, which will cause people to reject her. And if that doesn't work, then she could always count on the baby that she was carrying before being married to cause her to be cut off. Not to mention the fact that she was claiming that child who was going to be fatherless and who she was going to have before she was married. She was claiming that that child was going to be the Savior of the world. Pretty sure people are going to stop talking to her. That's just how it works. And with all that was happening, I think Mary probably had a lot of questions. But the question Mary asks is very simple. She just asks, how? She says, how, since I'm a virgin? She's not married. She's saved herself for her future husband. And the angel is telling her she's going to have a baby. I think I'd want to know how, too. Mary knew enough about the scriptures to know about the Messiah coming, but actually being a part of it would be a little different. You've been waiting for so long for this. Your ancestors have been waiting for this. And now it's here, and you're a part of it. So Mary asks how, but I don't think that Mary's question was just about the physical issue of having a baby. Mary was having to deal with her family, finding out, having to explain that to them, having to explain this to her future husband, who was probably going to divorce her at that point because of this. So when Mary said, how can this be since I'm a virgin, I don't think it was just about the physical aspect of it. I think it was about how do I do this? How is this possible? Why me? But the third response Mary gives is where I think it differs from a lot of us. Many of us would have a different response. The angel answers Mary, saying the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. And at this point, Mary doesn't ask more questions. I would ask more questions. But she doesn't say, don't you think we should do this in another way? Or, let me think about it. Mary answers by saying, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. You see, Mary understood the repercussions for this. She understood that she wasn't married, so she could be stoned. In Deuteronomy, it talks about this. Also, if Joseph, for some reason, decided not to divorce her, and they got married, they could be stoned, both of them. So not only was she giving up her own life, she was risking her own life, but she was risking the life of her future family. She was risking the life of her husband. She was risking the life of the child that was now inside of her. She was also risking her family and their family name. That's a lot to take in. But she knew of the Lord's faithfulness. And she also knew that the Lord would bring her through anything that he had for her, and that was good enough for her. The Bible doesn't say that Mary was any special girl. The Bible doesn't talk about any particular strengths that Mary had, which made her any more qualified for the job. She didn't have any super swaddling skills. She didn't have any supernatural ability to raise a child. But Mary had prepared for this moment. She had lived her life as if waiting for this moment, even though she could have never imagined this moment was going to come in her life. I think we can definitely take from Mary and her response some things that are really important in our own lives and ultimately in taking in God's plan for our lives. First, Mary was humble. She understood that she wasn't the main player in the game, and she certainly wasn't doing it to get attention. She was humble enough to allow God to work through her And she kept her humility even after she was the mother of the Savior. I think at that point, you've just raised the Savior of the world. Some people would think you get to be a little proud about that. She wasn't. She was humble through it all. And you can see that in her response to Elizabeth's greeting to her right after the angel comes. She goes to Elizabeth, and when she walks in the house, John leaps in Elizabeth's womb. When Elizabeth tells her, one thing that Mary says is, "From now on, all generations will call me blessed." And at first glance, this seems a little bit conceited, but look at the next verse. Mary says, "From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Mary doesn't say that she's blessed because of what she's done. She says that she's blessed because of what's been done for her by God. And she praises the Lord for it. Now, you have to remember Mary's situation. Remember the hardship she's going through. Remember everything that she's having to deal with. But Mary doesn't complain about having to deal with it. She glorifies the Lord for letting her be a part of it. Next, Mary was prepared. Mary spent her whole life preparing herself, even though she had no idea what was going to happen. There is no way she could have imagined that this was going to happen to her. And I know it sounds a little off. How do you prepare for something that you don't even know is going to happen in any way? In Mary's case, it was keeping herself pure. It was keeping herself humble. It was learning the scriptures. Any of this sounding familiar at all? Anything maybe we should be doing? Mary didn't know what the next step was. In fact, she thought she had the next step. She was going to get married. She was going to have kids after getting married. She was going to be an ordinary woman, supporting her husband, raising her children. That was an ordinary woman at that time. But Mary didn't prepare herself like she was just going to go through the motions, be an ordinary woman. Mary prepared herself to be a woman of God that would do great things. And the Lord rewarded her for that. So Mary was humble, and Mary was prepared. Finally, Mary was willing. Can't do anything without this. There are plenty of people who have done things for God without being humble, and there are plenty of people who have done things for God without being prepared. But you can't do anything for God without being willing. You might do great things without the other two. They may not be as great as they could be. In fact, they won't be as great as they could be, but you can do it. But you can't do it without being willing. Mary never said, "I'm not doing that." She never said, "Find someone else." She said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." I don't think we see the amount of strength that that must have taken Mary. Just saying okay to get up here today was a lot of strength for me, because I don't speak in public. But saying okay to raising and carrying the Messiah, that's got to take a lot of strength. That's real faith. If Mary hadn't been willing, what would we have done today? Okay, so here's the part where I tell you how it applies to your life. Except I'm not going to do that, because I think you already know how it applies. For some people, it may be that you need a little bit of humility. And let me tell you, if you're in it so people can see you, it's not worth it, because you're not going to outshine Jesus Christ. It's not going to happen. For some of you, it may be that you need to start preparing. And you may not know what you're supposed to do. You may not know what you're preparing for. In fact, I can probably guarantee that you don't know what you're preparing for. I didn't. But you know how to prepare. You can read. Grab a Bible. You can pray. It's not that hard to call the office and say, "Hey, what do you need done around the church?" Or, "What ministries need help?" It's not a difficult thing to do. I can give you the phone number if you'd like. Some of you may just need to be willing. Whatever God throws your way, you're going to step out and say, "I am the Lord's servant. I don't know what it may be, but I know the Lord is faithful. He's not giving you more than he can handle, although sometimes it may feel like it." Let me tell you, I just finished finals week. Okay, I had finals in every single one of my classes. I had projects that I, Dad, close your ears, I hadn't started in every single one of my classes. So not only was this not my thing, but this was not the time for me to add something onto my plate. I had Christmas shopping to do because I was leaving college and I have friends there that I won't get to see until mid-January. I had work to go to. I had a lot of things to do. But when the Lord tells you to do something, you do it. You're not going to tell him no. The Lord is faithful. He's not going to give you more than you can handle. And just like he carried Mary through, he will carry you through. And I told you this was going to be short. Okay, so Dad's going to come up and he's going to finish. But I encourage you to do what you need to do to be ready for what the Lord wants for you to do.
She said her part was going to be short, not my part. Don't you wish I could speak so clearly and succinctly? I want the worship team to come back up and church, I want us to have the opportunity just to respond to what I think is a beautiful representation of the heart of Mary towards the